All right. So let's switch to the Elmo here. Someone raise your hand, and Quentin's going to give you a $2 bill. Tell me what were three adjectives you thought about when you saw that picture of the Coca-Cola bottle. Hey, we're all going to be friends here by the end of the day. All right, that gentleman there, Quentin, you need to get moving and perfect. All right, loudly.
Crisp.
Okay.
Cold.
Yep.
Delicious.
What was the last one?
Delicious.
I love that. Okay, I'm just right. Tastes good. Okay, tastes great. So I love that answer. That was perfect. There are actually no wrong answers. So, all right, someone else, give me something different that you thought about when you saw that image of the Coca-Cola bottle. All right, that gentleman over there, Quentin, to the first table. Yep.
Diabetes.
I love that. Diabetes, okay. Okay, I'm going to just go with your diabetes theme. So I'm going to say diabetes, I'll say child obesity. Can I substitute that for you? Is that okay? And then the third category, who's got something completely different than those two? Yes, in the back there. Perfect.
Classic.
Say a little louder.
Classic.
Classic, okay.
Classic, American, and sugary.
I'm going to say classic in USA. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay, so here is my point. We have three different categories of what people saw in that bottle, right? The facts are there was a bottle that you saw. Here is the challenge. In your next case, you're going to have to prove to a mediator or a jury what that bottle stands for. Is it crisp and cold? Is it the worst thing you could ever put in your mouth? Or is it the symbol of America? And what happens is we never get to the bottom line message of what our case is all about. And then we get there and the jury goes, what are you trying to prove? You know what the judge's biggest complaint is when you're at a hearing with them? Is you don't tell them what you want. Is that that's so simple? But it's hard for us as lawyers to do that. So let me give you some tools on how to do a bottom line message because I think it's so important. Dwight D. Eisenhower, I forgot what president he was, but he was in the 1950s. You know, he was the general of the Allied forces in Europe in World War II. He becomes president, and he was getting some drafts of speech for his State of the Union address. And he got so frustrated with the drafts, he told his speechwriters, don't come back to me until you can put the bottom line message of the speech on the inside of a matchbook cover. So think of that. That's an hour-long speech, domestic and foreign policy, and he doesn't want them to start the speech writing it out until they get their bottom line message. There's only room for a few words, and I'm going to show you how to do that. I challenge you on the most important case you have right now, during the break today, on your commute home, think of 3, 4, 5 words about your case that will make it persuasive, that'll fit on the inside cover of a matchbook. If you don't smoke, if you've never seen a matchbook cover, I'll give you 140 characters on a tweet. All right? So any way you do it, boil down your case. And this isn't just Shane saying it or Quentin saying it or Eisenhower. Einstein once said that if you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough, right? That's Einstein, right? Mathematician, physicist. He felt you had to explain it simply. So how do we do it? I think this is nothing new, but I will go get a little refresher. Take your legal pad or your computer, draw a line down the middle of the page, write your good facts on one side, your bad facts on the other side. Then what do? You circle the most important good facts and the most important bad facts. Now here's the challenge. You've got to get some of the bad facts over to the good facts. And let me give you an example from a real case. I interviewed Mark Lanier for one of my books, Winning at Cross-Examination. And back in the late 1990s, he was suing Merck. And Merck had put out a product called Vioxx that you took for pain in your hand. The problem was, if you took Vioxx over a 2-year period or so, it could cause blood clots that would lead to heart failure. So he had a problem. He won one case, which we'll talk about in just a minute, where he had a healthy client who took Vioxx and died. Fine, Mark, you've got great facts. Probably anyone in this room could have won that case. Maybe not got as big a verdict, but we could have won the case. So then he was challenged in New Jersey with a plaintiff who was obese. He had diabetes. He was 78 years old. So, Mark, how are you going to win that case when you have a very unhealthy client? And here's what he did. He explained to the jury that let's imagine for a moment that this table is the table of life. And if you get to the edge here on the left, that is the demarcation of the line separating life from death. And if you're a young man and you're this cup in the middle, you can take Vioxx and you'll be fine because you can absorb the dangerous push it gives your heart when you take it over a long period of time. But my client, Mr. McDarby, 78 years old, diabetic, overweight, he was the last person in the world that could take the shove of the dangerous product Vioxx.